Are you trying to get your mug a beat? Are you trying to contour those brow bones? Maybe you're trying to lift those cheeks, mommy. Well, if you're going to do it, you need to do it with a quality product. That's why I am tired of beauty products not meeting my standards. It's time to reshape the beauty world as we know it. Well, wait no longer. Meet Worthy We Cosmetics, the first sustainable luxury beauty brand in the U.S. I love Worthy We because they have amazing cream bronze tours, as they say them, which is sort of like this cream blush that sculpts your skin and also like covers all the imperfections. As a newer drag queen, I need help from a gorgeous product like this because Worthy We Cosmetics are vegan, cruelty-free, and even the packaging is biodegradable. So not only do I get my bronze tour shade like perfectly blended into my mug, I'm able to build like a new beauty routine. It's so easy to use, unlike some products that are confusing. These cream blushes are buildable in a way that you can't go wrong. Like, they're unbelievable. They're unrivaled. It's become a beauty favorite for me. Truly, the wear and finish is smooth, clean. I know you're going to love them as much as I do, especially if someone like me who's brand new to creams and contourings, if you're as new as I am and you could look as smooth as this skin is looking, you're going to love it. So treat yourself and experience the sustainable luxury beauty brand right now. Treat yourself and experience the sustainable luxury beauty brand. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20%, oh my God, 20% off your first order at Worthy We Cosmetics, spelled WORTHYOUI cosmetics.com, and use promo code DRAGHER. That's Worthy OUI cosmetics.com, and use promo code DRAGHER for 20% off your first order.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Stella meant to throw some shade, Kiki with the gaze. It's time to drag her, time to drag her, drag her.
Oh, you, my God. Hot. You guys are listening to, can you believe how hot I came in? Another episode of Drag Her, a RuPaul's Drag Race podcast. In fact, the one and only RuPaul's Drag Race podcast. Nicole is off being successful and entertaining the children, but she'll be back very soon. Until then, I have the one, the only, the icon, the legend, the crowned one, the messiah, you love him, you know him, you need him. Drew Drogi.
Hi, Mono.
Hi.
I'm not working. I'm not entertaining today, except for here, which I'm thrilled to be here.
You're working me.
I'm working.
You're working,
working everyone's
room.
Nerves. Screaming at you for parking.
You are working my last
I'm demanding
nerve.
Mason jars full of water.
Do you know what's funny? That made me just flash to a time where there used to be times where I would like bother. There was a sweet old Southern secretary at my father's office.
Oh my God.
Named Billy Baines.
Billy Baines?
Billy Baines was her name.
I love a woman named Billy.
And her tactic, you'll love this, when I was being too much, I was like, what's this? I need to touch something. Can I open the computer? She had a little cup with paper clips and they were all attached.
Oh.
And she would hand me the cup of paper clips and she was like, I bet you can't unhook all these.
Oh, Billy. She was good.
She was good.
She was kind of zen. She had kind of her own way of knowing how to like calm you down.
Genius. Because I was working her last nerves.
Yeah. Because you needed stimulus, right?
Uh-huh.
You need to put your focus on something.
I needed it.
Yeah, I get it.
Isn't that Billy zen, though? Too.
Yeah.
She was wonderful.
What's Billy up to now? Do you know?
Have you kept I don't think she's with us any longer.
Okay. Well, you know.
But she was a perfect...
Die.
She's a perfect sweet lady.
I'm saying that's terrible. We all have to die. Goodbye. It was nice to meet you.
She seems like someone who, when she passed, she was just like, yeah, I need this. Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Zen.
That's how I want to go. When I'm
right?
just like, I'm done. And
done.
It's cool. We're all right? good, right? I'm going to leave behind a little mug of paper clips
Ugh.
For other people to play with. And I'm moving on.
Moving on.
I love that. That's beautiful.
But you know who's not moving on? The queens in this season.
Girl.
We have All Stars 1 working for you. We are at the finale. Drew, what'd you think in general of All Stars 1? Be
well,
honest,
I never watched, I haven't watched a lot of the All Stars as they've been on, and I don't think I ever watched this season. of All Stars. When was it?
2012. In 2012. Between seasons 4 and 5.
Okay. Okay. I knew that, spoiler, I knew that Chad was going to win. I knew that. Like, I was like, and as he should have, because he's the, he's the legend. All Stars won. Like, that just felt
Do you think Chad should have won season 4? Or do you think Sharon Needles properly won season 4?
Well, okay, so if in my memory, back then, let me just say, I was a huge Sharon fan. And I loved
what
Sharon,
I think I loved what Sharon
was bringing to the table. And I remember when Sharon, I mean, like, nobody else was doing what she was doing on that show. I mean, plenty of people were doing the, you know, the goth,
in the world,
the devil drag thing. But, like, it was just such a, it was such a welcome surprise.
Yeah.
And I, you know, and I think that Chad is truly legendary and truly, you know, gorgeous and perfect and pristine. And
have
Sharon
you worked
was
with
wild.
Her?
No, I never have.
That's surprising because you're both like met West Hollywood magnates. Like,
but I've never really, we've never really
crossed.
Done any things. Now, Chad was on AJ and the Queen, which I wrote on.
Yes.
That's coming out next year.
Thank
God. And apparently he was amazing, but we never crossed paths on that because when he was doing his episode, I was writing another thing. So I didn't even, I was never
amazing.
Even on the set for that. So we've swam in the same pools many times, but I've actually never met
Oh, I can't
Chad.
Wait to see that. What insider tea? That we will be seeing Chad Michaels on AJ and the Queen.
He gets to do a very dramatic turn. He gets a very, truly.
I can't wait.
Which is really, apparently he was, it was really amazing. And I'm excited for that show to come out because it's going to show so many of these queens as actors.
Yeah.
And anyway.
As dramatic as her turn in season 4 when she tells Fifi, I'm sorry I called you an asshole, even though you are an asshole.
Well, Fifi is the assholes of all assholes. So
yeah, she
why
is.
Are you sorry about that?
There's a moment where, like, and it comes to bite her in the ass once, like, the reunion comes around. But, like, in the final episode of season 4, she's like, I'm sorry I called you an asshole. You're young. Which is true. Young people are assholes.
That's true. I mean, I have friends who are a lot younger than me, and I've watched them grow up, and I've now known them for some of them for like 10 years. I was just thinking about that this morning because I, anyway, I'm not even going to get too, it's going to get too personal and someone listening to them like, wait, when was this? No, but just like, I really like them now and I did it for a long time, but I'm like, you've grown up, you know?
Yeah.
So people are, I mean, we all are assholes.
Oh God, I look on, I mean, my own behavior, I'm just like, I was insane. In college and everything else. I think about the way I behaved and I was like, oh, that was bad.
Well, you're trying to find an identity and you're lashing out and you're having opinions and you're right about everything. How hard did my pee pop on that when I said opinions? But you know, you're just thinking like, I know everything. And I'm terrified to admit that I don't know something.
Truly.
And then you get older and you're like, oh, it's so fun to learn things and not know things.
Right?
And it's totally fine to admit you don't know something.
One time when I was gay young, I got involved in a gay lover's quarrel where I tried to date. Did I tell you I dated multiple gentlemen on my college's salsa dancing team?
No, but sure.
Wait, I was
your
a real
college had a salsa
slut.
Dancing team?
Yes, called Que Rico. And I dated is an interesting word, but I dated multiple gentlemen on the salsa dancing team.
Because
once
drama, that's you get one. You get one gay salsa dancer per team, at least.
But once I had the taste, I went back for double dips, and it was good every time. But they were insane. And anyway, I got involved in between two ex-lovers who were on the salsa dancing team, and I foolishly thought that I was going to be able to date this gentleman fresh out of a bad, crazy interaction with another salsa dancer. And my stupid, naive brain was like, he loves me. He's crazy about me. Even though he just broke up with this other crazy person a week ago.
Not to mention all the rehearsals that they have, all their performances. They're busy, honey.
Honey! Well, let's get into the episode. Yeah. Okay. Here we go. So Ru keeps all four of the girls for the top four.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first top four. We, of course, know Chad is pulling ahead. Chanel's report card looks pretty good right behind her. And Raven and Juju arguably have the least strong report cards based on who's won and lost in this season.
Okay, okay.
Allegedly. But the whole team thing also fucks it up. Pretty bad. I just have to say they're competing for a spot in the Drag Race Hall of Fame. a sickening supply of MAC makeup, a once-in-a-lifetime trip courtesy of AlanChuck.travel.
Oh, I love that.
Now, they're what deceased, that- right?
Or they are?
I think the company is deceased.
Oh, the company is.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Not Alan.
You're like,
Chuck.
Alan Chuck, are they with Billy up in the sky?
Just pulling apart paper
clips. But the name
clips.
Alan Chuck, like, I want that to be a show. Like,
I heard it was a...
Why is there not, like, some gay travel, like, I scripted show about some travel agent or just, like, going
I
around
don't
the world
know.
Or something? That sounds like so much fun.
So much fun. But I think that was quite a scandal and they really effed a lot of their travelers. Of course, custom crown.
Here's the thing.
Yes.
The gays just don't know how to do anything. I'm just going to say it. I'm going to call us out.
Get hot.
We try to have restaurants. They go, that most likely go under.
Uh-huh.
Unless you're called from day one to open a restaurant. Because it's like, I think as gay people, we're like, I like food.
Yeah.
I go out all the time. I have disposable income. I know what's good. And you have, restaurants
I've
are.
I spent $40. On a BLT, so I can get other
so
people.
So I'm going to charge that as well.
Yeah,
and I'm going to call it, you know, a BL toonie, and I'm going to put like a you know a sidecar martini with it or some terrible idea,
and call the whole space the Glish.
Oh, the Glish.
Let's I wouldn't have to lunch say at the gash, Glish but then
and
that
just
was
kill
not
ourselves.
Right.
But it's like, there's so many things that are just like I'm going to open a travel company. It makes sense. It's like
image these, first. We're very image first.
Yes, exactly. And mm-hmm. we love to. And it's like even sometimes that you know, gay people that like you know they just can't do anything. We just have to
they
do
just
better.
Can't do anything.
I'm gonna put it this way: we got to do better.
We
got to do better. We got to work harder, and we got to like
we can do
kick,
better.
You know.
Yeah, I know.
Kick
what
our
you
whores
mean.
Out of bed and get to work.
We really can do better. I know what you mean. There's a lot of those image forward gay businesses. There's got to be a couple. There's got to be a couple that worked. You know, honestly, these World of Wonder gays.
Oh, they're amazing.
They
no,
have
I mean, of
their
course,
shit
they're,
together.
Of course. Oh, absolutely.
We need to follow their
lead.
No,
they're like, there are plenty of companies that, you know, that are, you know, exceptions to the rule. But just anytime I hear, like, you know, you're like.
You know who else is going to?
What?
There's a small, you need to go because there's a little coffee restaurant house in East Hollywood called Bolt.
Where is that?
Bolt. And it's like Hollywood and Wilcox, and it's owned by three gay zaddies.
Really?
There is always...
I feel like maybe I've been there.
I'm putting them on blast. There's always stunningly hot zaddies who run the place and work at the place, and it is distracting.
Oh, I love it.
You got to go there. They know what they're doing. Anyways.
Are they really, like, rude and, you know... like arrogant? I hope so. I'm asking because I want
they're
it to.
They're not. I wish they were. They're not.
Friendly?
They're friendly.
And the coffee's good and the people are hot?
Yes. And they have those, you know, those hands that are just like bear claws?
Yes, I do.
That really turns me on. An oversized man hand really gets me going.
Yeah. No, I get it.
You know what I mean? Where you're just like, your hand
handle me.
Feels like a baseball glove. That's hot.
Yeah.
So then we're in the workroom again. They're saying, oh, we're so excited. Who's going to win? They're not in pairs anymore. Drew, do you work better in a pair or alone?
It depends on who it's with. I would normally I would say alone. I definitely, there's certain pairs that I work really well with in terms of creating, writing.
Right.
Of course. And I love, you know. Certain people I love being on stage with is a pair. Like it's easier sometimes with a pair, but sometimes it's harder because if you're not compatible, and I'm also very alpha, you know, and so I can get and kind of I can be autonomous. It's like I do a lot of solo shows, I do a lot of things on my own, so it's like I write a lot on my own, and I just sort of like I work best when I'm like in my own head and my own, and I'm not having to explain where I am all the time back and forth.
Truly.
Or God forbid, take somebody else's ideas in.
Ugh.
Bye.
I hear you. I feel the exact same way.
Really?
Like, as much as like I love doing stuff on stage with people, but like the writing thing is a little more like personal and like I'm just like, I want to take the lead.
Well, and I have to sort of figure it out for a bit with myself, and it's hard to sort of bounce that around when it's still in its like new stages, when it's not right yet, it's not good yet, but you're like, there's something here. I got to like sort of work it out on my own.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, I get it. I also think if I was doing a show like this, if I was on a competition show, you're absolutely like hurt or benefit it. It's like being on a team can really drag you down.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. You're like, it feels like you're either
because you're also competing against that person. It's a weird sort of thing about like we have to work together, but ultimately
it's a mind fuck.
I have to turn around and kill you.
Right,
be a praying mantis.
Like, it's like Survivor a little bit.
Yeah,
totally. That whole Survivor deal.
Mm-hmm.
They hope they're going to do a music video for the final challenge, and so did we. But we did not get a music video challenge. We got a lot of stand up comedy.
Oh, it was like, but it was also a day of like a day of fame. Which was so crazy. First of all, just the way they set this up, and I know I love it. I mean, because it's a TV show, but it's like what they set up for them was not that hard.
No.
Otherwise, I mean, yes, they had to do completely different looks for each thing.
That was the hardest part.
The hardest part was like them changing in a car that's flying down the street.
Yes.
You know, but I also love that they're flying down the street / stuck in traffic. So I don't know how that works. Because like they're just stuck on Sunset Boulevard and they're like, oh my God, we're stuck. And then you see them scream, careening down the streets.
Yes.
So I'm like, well, pick one or the other. Because if we're stuck in traffic, they have some time to get changed and whatever. And if not, they could throw something together. But they look great in every look.
They look amazing.
So we know, like, you've had, because, like, obviously, if any of us were trying to change in a car, it'd be terrible. But really, all they had to do was, and refresh me, because I mean,
there's three parts of the challenge.
They had to go to a morning talk show.
Yeah.
Where they had one interview with all four of them.
With Mark Malkin. And then they have to go get a special honor at Hamburger Mary's.
They get a burger named after them, and they have to give a speech.
Which burger looks disgusting.
Well, it's Hamburger Mary's, honey. Everything's like a beefaroni sandwich plate.
Yeah.
It's just awful. It's like tilapia tacos.
Once again, a gay-owned business.
Yes.
And we didn't get it right.
And the check comes in a high-heel shoe.
Yeah.
And that's like dirty. And everything feels like, it smells like ketchup in there. And it's
it's weird.
Yeah. And the burger squeaks when you bite on it. It's just, it's a lot.
It is.
And everything's in a basket. Everything's like a bowl of margarita juice. Everything's just like over the top.
Yeah. There's an option to get your, instead of buns, grilled cheese sandwiches as your buns, doesn't feel right.
No.
It's never.
Yeah, I know.
It's the execution, and there's no care. I don't want to drag them, but I'm surprised that's a gay business.
It's insane.
What about just a good, normal amount of food?
Well, you go to the bathroom and it blares "I Will Survive" or something in the bathroom.
Yes.
Like, we get it. It just feels. It's just. God. It's very basic.
It's very basic,
and it's also like I will love anyone. Please. Let me know what's good on the menu there because I need to know what to order there because you have to go there.
Shade.
I'm just saying.
I am agreeing with you.
Nothing is even like so, it's not like horribly made. It's just, it's so over the top and it's just, it's so much.
It's like the cheesy lupa blended, as you're saying, margarita.
They're trying too hard. It's like, make a taco that's good or just make something that, like a burger that's not.
That's what I'm saying.
Like drenched in ranch. With like a pesto bun and like
I think
a, you know.
It's all based on you being slammed.
Yeah, 100%. Just
like
drunk.
When you're so drunk that you're like,
and it's like a margarita with a Corona sticking out of the top of
truly.
It. It's just like, just get vomity.
It's get nachos
loud.
Topped with drink salt and shots of gin. It's really, the food hybrid is too
much. Oh, I love
it.
Gin shot.
It's too much. Anyways, so now they're going to do some stand-up, which is wild. And I don't know if it's fair to judge these all-stars. I don't know if it's fair to judge them on stand-up.
Making them do stand-up.
As your final challenge?
It is very strange. And the whole thing is like, and they got Sherry O'Terry to give the comedy notes, who I love.
She's amazing. And her notes were all good.
They were all good. They were all absolutely right. She absolutely knew what she was doing.
Yeah.
And it's also just, it's hilarious because I don't even know if Sherry's done stand-up, but like, because, you know,
she knew.
I mean, her background with the Groundlings, it's like
sketch.
It's the opposite. Like, doing it as we both know, like, when you do improv, it's like you have to get out of the stand-up mind and be in. It's a very different mindset to do improv and sketch comedy.
Because
you do have to work with other
it.
People, and you have to say yes and. And stand-ups are the classic people of saying, this is weird, I'm going to comment on it.
Right.
And so it's a totally different muscle to be able to do stand-up than to do improv.
She seemed pretty damn, I mean, and, she just knows comedy.
She just had great comedy notes, and she just knew, she knows her stuff.
Right.
And so they should have listened to her so much more and taken her to heart. Seriously,
so
it's like
much
they
more.
Were all gagging out like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm going to be in a room with Sherry O'Terry and I can't believe Sherry's going to, and they didn't listen to her when they, when they didn't commit. I mean, she basically was saying, commit to what you're saying.
Like when Juju says, oh, I was kidding. It's like, we know.
You're in a stand-up. You're on stage doing stand-up.
You're on stage.
You don't have to say, just kidding.
Juju did take the note of like, talk about your family.
Yes.
Do
and
that.
She was great when she did that.
Because Juju's name is Airline.
That's so funny.
That's
because
unreal.
It's real. It's unreal. Funny because it's real.
I love it.
Juju I really like. I did work with Juju back in the day.
That's
and I really
fun.
Liked her. A
She's
lot.
Amazing.
And I thought she did maybe the best of the stand-up.
I do too.
Definitely Chanel tanked it, the stand-up.
Okay, so we have to talk about them in the workshopping.
Okay,
even. So,
okay,
like,
okay.
Just to get through it little by little, Chad, of course, runs some of her, like, old, I like her, I think her old queen jokes work. She's like, I'm going to show my fupa. And Sherry's like, I don't think you have to do that.
Yeah.
She also doesn't have a fupa.
She does, that's why. You don't have a fupa, you know, you know, and she kept saying, I'm 41, and it's like, maybe because I'm 42 that I'm watching going, well, that's not old, but like, yes, compared to the 26-year-old queens on the show, yeah, you're the old queen on the show, I get it, but it's not old enough to be funny.
No.
Like, I have a thing about, like, when someone just uses your age, it's lazy. It's like saying, I'm 20, I don't know anything, or I'm 40, I'm old.
Well,
it's like, go deeper.
It speaks to a part of the gay vanity disease where, like, when you're gay and 30, you're dead to most of the community.
Right.
Because we
but
have
that's
such.
That's so not even true. Like, the
it's
thing
not
about
true
that
anymore.
Is that, like, we perpetuate that because we want to.
Yeah.
We tell that tale because it's easier to go, oh, I'm 30, I'm giving up.
You're right.
As opposed to going, oh, I'm 30, I'm finally owning my opinions. I'm finally an adult.
Yeah.
I'm loving, I'm hot. Like,
yeah.
30, you know, 40's great too. It's like, you know, I've yet to hit an age where I'm like, oh my God, I'm old, I'm going to give up. However, since I was in my 20s, people have called me old because I act like an old bitch all the time. So I'm never offended when people call me old. I'm
you're like reaching your correct age. You know
exactly.
What I mean? Like your body
totally.
And spirit are connecting.
I mean,
now.
It's like I was called B. Arthur when I was in college. It wasn't like, it's not really about the age that you are. It's your sensibility. So like,
I
get
agree.
It. But also like, if you're going to do that, then have a joke there. But I'm so old, I blah, blah, blah. Like, you know.
Can I say, I agree. Cause like, as I'm getting older, I am finally like enjoying and owning myself. But there is still a shadow of the old gay me that's haunted by the negative, stupid part of the gay community, or so I think.
Right, right.
My projected issues with body shit and all that stuff where I'm just like, I'm so used to thinking the gay community is looking like an Aussie bum ad.
Right.
And connecting to that being like, that is what we've all decided is the epitome of queerness.
Yes.
And that's my baggage.
But it's all our baggage. I mean, it's a lot of it. We all think we have to look that way.
Uh-huh.
Yet, we are attracted to different body. Like, it's that thing about, like, we want a certain body, but we're attracted to a different body. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
truly.
It's like, I find myself all the time being like, oh my God, that guy's so hot. And then it's like, if I, like, really looked at that guy, I'm like, he doesn't have the perfect body. It's like, we want this thing. We reach an ideal. I mean, we desire an ideal that we don't even really desire in other people.
I agree.
You know?
I think I see 18 different kinds of hotness in every kind of guy.
Right.
But then I project the worst shit into my own brain.
Of course.
Where I'm like, well, I actually like all these kinds of people, but you need to be
right, of
this.
Course. Right.
Yeah.
And
okay.
I
love this,
but
by
you,
the way.
You know, but it's like if you, I would, absolutely, we're going deep. Fans are like, I thought they were going to be bitchy. And some are like, love your body, love yourself.
People do love
Chad,
this because where
like,
else do we get to talk about this?
Exactly.
It's not on Drag Race.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I wish
not.
There was some, you know, version of this.
We could use more of this.
We could, absolutely. We need, absolutely. I mean, this is, I love, you know me, I love to go deep right away.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that, yeah.
I'll never forget that date. Gay joke.
With what? Oh, yeah, of course. I'm so dumb. I'm like, what? I don't get it. Explain.
It was badly timed.
I'm just saying, like, you have to, like, in order to have a fupa, in order to make a fupa joke, you have to have a fupa.
Yes.
In order to be, like, old, then, like, say something that's true about yourself being right? old. As a, something, and then we can laugh as opposed to just, like, that's it.
That's it. Well, now I've talked about Chanel's problematic approach to this, which is outdated and problematic then, even more problematic now.
Yeah, and it's also just like, the to me, the most like offensive thing about it is that, okay, what she said was—
What she says was, please, I'm because a white it's so, man—
I'm a white man in a black woman's—
in a black woman's body.
Which is so stupid and not even correct.
It's like, not even correct in its offensiveness.
They tell her at the end, I mean—
And she says, I drink wine and smoke cigarettes. And Sherry's like, uh-uh.
Yeah, no. First of all, like, that's not even a stereotype of black women.
No.
You're saying you have, it's so confusing because it's stupid and wrong. But then it's like, even if they correct her at the very end and say,
you're
meant to say, I'm a black woman trapped in a white man's body.
Right.
And then the offensive part to me is that she thinks that's interesting.
Yes.
The most offensive thing is that she thinks what she said is actually relevant and exciting. And it's like every basic gay white bitch has thought, I have a black lady inside me. Well,
you don't.
You think you're sassy. And it's like, no, you're a basic gay boy.
Yeah.
White. You're a basic white gay boy who watches reruns of Living Single. So that's who you are. Don't think that you are like, I've got a black lady. It's like, I don't know. It's like,
I agree. Well, it's a classic problem in the gay community where gay men are co-opting women of color's experiences.
Right.
Because we're obsessed with women of color. They're interesting, amazing,
absolutely.
And strong.
Absolutely.
But there's a line we need to watch, which of course in the past has been breached and disrespected.
Right. And then it's like, you don't even have, it's like, if you're going to go there, then yet again, you don't even have anything interesting to say to follow it up. And Sherry told him not to do that. Just said, don't do it.
And Chanel literally at the end is like, oh my God, thank you. In a way where you're like, she's literally saying, okay, bye. I'm not going to listen. Bye.
Right. Exactly.
You know what I mean?
We both teach improv.
Yes, we do.
Have those students that do that to us.
Uh-huh.
That take notes like, oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Great. Yeah. Thank you.
And you're just like,
and it makes me crazy because I'm like, you're not listening. And like, don't condescend to me with how you take my notes.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, don't be like, oh, that's great.
Okay.
Oh, good.
Oh my God,
point.
Bye. Good advice.
Thank
I'm
going to
go. I'm going to be offensive and
God.
Keep it on tape
but it's like,
forever.
It's like also like, if you're going to be offensive, then be offensive.
And then
like,
she
say
exactly.
something offensive. Actually like, say something that's like edgy that's going to make us go, oh my God, I can't believe she said that. As
right.
opposed to boring.
Well, there, and like,
nothing is more offensive than boring to me.
It was boring. And also, we're really ragging on her, but like there was no take on it. There's no
zero.
There's no angle or perspective. It was just like, isn't this interesting?
No, every gay white boy has felt what you're feeling. It's literally
right.
like, I like the taste of pizza in my mouth.
Yeah.
And it's like, what an amazing perspective you have.
And then finally, Sherry and then Raven. I could talk about this forever, but we should keep going.
Yeah.
But it is worth talking about. But anyways, we'll dig deeper into it as it comes up again in the challenge. Raven gives notes. Sherry gives notes to Raven, gives notes about her
being a
set,
slut.
And she was just very plainly like, so you're saying you're a slut? And Raven's like, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. My favorite part of this was how bored she is of being a slut. And I kind of wish.
How bored Raven is?
Yes.
Well, that would have been a really interesting angle.
That would have, yes. Being bored of how much of a raging cock monster you are.
Yet again.
A cock destroyer.
What Sherry like didn't say, but I would say, it's like Raven is a sexy guy, like a good looking guy and a gorgeous woman. So to get up on stage and talk about being a slut, you're not going to get laughs because you're hot.
Yes.
And so we don't relate to you. Like you have to knock yourself down in some way.
Right.
So it'd be really fun to be like, I'm so bored by how slow, you know, what a slut I am. That's an angle.
That's interesting.
That I'm interested in.
Yeah.
But just like, you know, I get a lot of dick and I pull a lot of tail. Oh, great. Okay.
Right.
Cool. Good for you. There's nothing funny about that because it doesn't surprise us. You look like you would.
You
look like you could.
Yeah.
You know.
Truly.
And so No judgment. Great. I'm glad. But like, we don't laugh when we're not surprised.
Right. It's like Carmen Carrera's thing of like literally Carmen Carrera does stand up in season 3. And then she was like, have you ever felt out of place? She's like, no. have you ever felt like you didn't belong? No. It's like, well, you should.
Well,
because that's interesting.
Yeah. And I, you know, you're not really aware. Because you're not really, you know, and why are you on TV?
Yeah.
Honestly, period.
Honestly.
Why should we like follow you? Why should we look to you?
Yeah.
How do we relate to you?
Yeah.
You're gorgeous and you've never felt out of place?
Go away.
Okay, great.
I mean, that's fine, but we can't laugh at you.
Well, there's a reason why you don't enjoy the comedy stylings of Grace Kelly. You know, I'm serious. Like, you know, you have to be able to like, what is, and there are plenty of gorgeous people who are very funny because they've tapped into something internal where they've gone. Because it's not about like, oh, you have to be ugly to do comedy. It's just like, you have to be honest and you have to be like fair with your life experience. And
right.
If bad's ever happened to you.
This is why like, oh God, what's your name?
Congratulations. But guess what? You
what's
don't get
name?
A spot on the comedy stage.
No, Hunger Games.
Jennifer Lawrence?
Jennifer Lawrence is the most beautiful person I've ever seen nail self-deprecating.
Yes.
Like, she fucking kills it when you're like,
oh, yeah.
When you want to be like, I don't buy it. And then you're like, okay, I buy it, bitch.
Sure.
And that's why in Snatch Game, you can't do a gorgeous, stunning, famous woman like Kim Kardashian, J-Lo, or Beyonce, because there's nothing interesting about a stunning, perfect person.
No, I know. It's never who I, like, look at to, like, sort of embody, because it's sort of like, why would you want to do that? I mean, I do believe there's somebody who can find an interesting take.
You got to take
on any
a whole
of those people,
new
but you've
angle
really got to figure it out.
Yeah,
it
has
I know.
To be something, almost something surprising or crazy, or if it's just like literally something so completely wrong. Like, do a J-Lo who talks like a caveman. You know, like, this is my real voice. You're like, that's not my real voice. Gah. Anyways. Well, we're going to dig deeper into the actual challenge right after this break. Yum, 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 yum. I like to eat food, but you know, it's hard. Let's be real. Food is confusing and it happens 3 times a day. You want me to cook 3? I'm offended. I'm aghast. I'm agog. The gall, the gumption, the nerve, the audacity, and the cheek, all of it. I don't like it. But now I'm calm because I use Factor Meals. Factor Meals are available in just 2 minutes. They come right to my door and they have really popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, Vegan, Veggie. You can get any kind of delicious meal delivered to your door. I love them. I've been using them for over a year, way before I started talking about them on the podcast. They help me feel full, satiated. There's no mess. It comes never frozen. It's always fresh. It's my favorite meal solution. I've said it a million times. I come home after a night of hanging or dancing and I eat a Factor meal. Like, to me, that's the ultimate endorsement. These meals are so yummy that I'm able to kick a craving for a much naughtier meal and come home and eat something I know will be good for my body. So head to factormeals.com/dragher50 and use code DRAGHER50 to get 50% off your first month. Plus, 20% off your next month. That's a lot of money. That's code DRAGHER50 at factormeals.com. Go get into it. Factormeals.com/DRAGHER50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Are you seeing some triggering ads on social media? Stuff about summer bodies, stuff about the diet cleanse, stuff about trimming down. Fuck that noise. That stuff is triggering for me, and I assume it's triggering for someone else listening. That's why I use BetterHelp. BetterHelp allows me to get in touch with a licensed professional therapist who can help me recharge, who can help me
decrap my brain, because those negative images and slogans can really creep in and give me negative body talk. You know what I mean? Any form of negative self-talk that is traumatic for me. And thankfully, I'm using these tools and being honest about them and articulating them in a way that takes the power away from them. If you're thinking about therapy, you should give BetterHelp a try, because it's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you do is fill out a brief questionnaire. You get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can even switch therapists anytime at no additional charge. That's how I found my personal therapist. I found my sweet spot with BetterHelp. So go. Visit BetterHelp.com/dragher today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/dragher. Go! Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
Oh, we're back! Oh, oh, oh! Drew, how was your break?
Oh, it was fantastic.
Oh,
I'm
delicious.
I'm so braked. I feel fully so, broken.
Delicious. Now we're going to our wacky racer style challenge, where they're going to drive about rat race style and do all these things. I felt immediately bad for Delta Work and Angina having to drive these gals around.
I know, it's awful.
What a not honor. What a bummer when the company, the production company calls you to be like, we want you on All Stars. To drive around other All Stars in boy clothes.
They weren't contestants on All Stars earlier that season, were they?
No, no.
So, and that's horrible.
And they have not yet been contestants on any other season of All Stars.
It's so awful. It makes me crazy. It makes me hate this business, because it's like, also, I just wonder how owned these queens are, because they all are doing all the things. So, like,
yeah,
they have to go on tour after the show. They have to do, I mean, at least then they get to perform.
Right.
But it just feels like you're part of it. It's like, I wonder, like, contractually how much they have to just, like, do. And, like, you have to drive around. You have to drive the queens around.
Well,
what a nightmare.
What a nightmare. I think it was something cute production thought would be adorable, and
but that's the problem. They always do that. They always think, this will be cute, and this person will love doing this.
Yeah.
The amount of things that are pitched to me that are like, we thought it'd be a really fun idea if you ran naked through the snow or whatever, and it's like just some awful thing that they think I would love.
Right.
You know?
We want you to drink a cup of mustard and say, oh, that's nummy.
And they will say things like, we're like, they'll come to you and they go, we have zero idea and we need you to like write the whole thing and do it all. And it's a great exposure. We have
but
no money.
You won't get writing credit.
No.
And you're non-union
and
today.
We know this will be really fun for you. And it's just like, what are you, you know? And then I say yes to certain things too. And then I'm like, what am I doing?
Me too.
I'm on a float.
Me too. I'm like, how
next
dare
thing I know,
you? I'll be there at
right,
6 a.m.
Exactly. But I do feel, I mean, it's like the thing where you're like, ugh, you get no.
Yeah.
But they had to have some deal, because both Angina and Delta were like out of drag. Mm-hmm. Clearly, where they're like, I'm not even going to shave for this. Like, don't
no.
even ask me to do this.
Don't. They did a good. What made me laugh about the first challenge was they were like, you're off to the races. And I think, as you know, or I noticed, they fake drive to it. They're in the same studio right next. That's that downtown LA studio.
Exactly.
And they're like, oh, you're off to the races.
And it's also you have a live interview at the same time that you're going to make.
Right.
Like, they're not going to not make that. Like, so it's just like, calm down.
I know, right? It's the production's fault if you didn't make it.
Exactly.
It's what?
I know. And it's literally zero to do with how the queens are doing.
Yeah, I don't think. It was anyone watching were like, oh, I hope they make it. What if Angina gets too distracted by dick?
I want to be in the head of that person who's just like, terrified if the queens are going to make their first appointment.
Me too. I want to be with that audience member. So Chad, let's talk about their looks for the first interview. Looks, Chad is serving a BLD with Mrs. Brady after the divorce wig. Chanel is very designing, like a designing woman and a Steel Magnolia.
Sure.
Is kind of her look. Juju looks like a Rembrandt ad from the 90s. And like Raven is like Jenner with like a dash of zombie Pat Benatar.
Very good.
Very that.
Very, very that.
Very that. They're in the interview with Merk Merkin. And they're like, don't be crude. Did you remember this part where they're like, don't cuss during the interview? Because drag queens cannot cuss. I know,
on morning television. Also, like, isn't that kind of telling you to do it? Like, it's sort of like, you know, sort of taunting you to do it.
I didn't care about this storyline of
at all
of like, oh, she cussed. Raven can't be an all-star now.
It's also never real to have four guests on a show at the same time and never ask specific questions to any of them. Like direct any questions to any one of them. Mm-hmm. They just asked general questions and it was like, jump in. So it was a free for all.
Yeah.
So I actually felt bad for Jujubee in that moment because it's like, you know, they're all competing. And it was like, Chanel, shut the fuck up.
Oh.
Babble, babble, babble doesn't equal quality.
I've never heard anyone talk more about peplums.
Exactly. Shut she thought that was up. Such, she thought that was so, you know,
with
smart
all due respect,
to say peplums.
Shut the fuck up.
And it was like, but also like, pick your moments.
Right.
And say your points and then leave and let other people talk. Because
right.
You know, the Southerner in me is like, I, you know, let people finish and whatever, mm-hmm. but it's like, you know, I don't know. I get that in a moment where you're like doing an interview and you just think like, well, surely they're going to ask me something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, no, it's a competition. You have to just like, you get in. And it's like, well, it's bad. It's bad improv to just scream and talk constantly
truly.
Without stopping and listening.
Truly. And also no one's impressed that you're using the word dégueulatage. We all know that word, but you're using it in a way of like, can you believe I just said that? Also, old Hollywood. Here's something unique. I'm a gay person who likes old Hollywood.
Oh, boy.
So now they're off to Hamburger Mary's. Hamburger, I wrote down this quote because it really made me laugh. Chad said, quote, a hamburger is named after us, and that's a huge deal. Too stupid. And okay, they're putting on clothes in the van. Great. They're off to the Hamburger Mary's.
So it's supposed to be like an Oscar look. Is that what it's supposed to
emulate? Guess.
But they're getting a hamburger named after them at Hamburger Mary's. It's in the middle of the day.
In the middle of the day.
And there are four people there.
In like a hot, stinky, barely air-conditioned Hamburger Mary's.
Right.
I don't know, man.
How is that an honor?
So their burger looks... Their burger appropriate looks are. Raven's giving like blonde Catalina boutique hippie kind of that look. Mm-hmm. Very Paris Hilton when that was relevant.
I have to be honest, I don't remember what any of them looked like. So
no
I'm
worries.
Gonna go with you.
Just yeah. gonna share so people have a visual aid.
I absolutely love it. I'm just sorry that I'm not chiming
Living.
In
no worries. Chad is serving another kind of confused Brady rocker, but it's gorgeous. It's gorgeous. She loves her little, like, glovelets. She lives for a glovelet.
Yes, she does.
Her hair is incredibly hydrated. Juju's wearing just a black little dress, which is fine. What was that? What was it? Dahlia's? Am I thinking of Dahlia's or Claire's? It's very... Oh. Maybe I'm
Claire's
thinking of Limited.
Claire's is the makeup. Place. I mean,
it's a
Dahlia's
bit wet seal.
Wet seal.
Delia's.
Thank you.
Emma.
The real lady in the room knows.
And Chanel looks like Lisa Frank diarrhea. Looks like she bought it from Fias.
Paredes?
Phallus? Fias.
Paredes?
Paredes?
Fias Paredes?
Fias?
What are you talking about?
You're right.
Yeah.
Fias.
Uh-huh.
Okay, great. Now they talk about this signature hamburger, which is... Listen to this disgusting description. Half a pound of organic beef, a slice of Granny Smith apple dipped in honey.
Sick.
Hot pepper jack cheese.
God.
And pesto.
How are all of those things working together?
They're not.
Apple slices need to go on pork or chicken,
first
of all.
Thank you.
And then, so you don't want beef and apples.
Apple and then pesto?
And then dipped in honey and pesto?
There was also like sun-dried tomatoes on it, which is like...
Oh, which are awful, which need to be like abandoned from Earth.
It's like biting into a roach skin.
Yes. No, but it's like, oh, I wish my tomato tasted more like a dead raisin. Oh, have a sun-dried tomato. Awful.
I kind of wanted to see what it would be like to bite into Leatherface. I kind of wanted to know what it would be like to bite into him as a food.
Yes, sure.
You know what? Yeah, I'll add sun-dried tomatoes.
Right.
And if there could be more of those little like dried up seeds inside of it, that would be great.
Nasty.
Great.
And it won't go away in your mouth either. You can't get it out of your mouth. It's like you're just chewing on this awful dead skin. awful.
Now, and it's such an honor for this burger to be named after them.
And honey on a hamburger?
Get out of here.
Honey.
Honey? No honey.
Honey, no honey.
This is very, it harkens back to America's Tech Next Top Model. Like when they had to bite into like pickled plums. On like season 3 or something of ANTM, they have to, they're in Japan, and they have to like eat umeboshi, which are these like pickled Japanese plums.
But those sound delicious. I bet those are great.
They're actually not.
Oh, they're not. Okay.
They're not. But you know, it depends on who you are.
Right. I mean, are they really, what's the flavor of it?
They're sour.
Uh-huh.
They're very sour, but I guess a little sweet. They're definitely like a very specific flavor.
Like you had a flavor you really needed to grow up with in order to kind of have in your palate.
Yes.
But at least that's a thing. It's not some weird contrivance of just like how many gross things can I put together.
Exactly. It's cultural, darling.
Yeah.
So
I mean, Applebee's wouldn't even do this burger. Like this is a burger that like, honey,
Applebee's would say, let's use some restraint.
Exactly.
Which is
maybe not.
Maybe not. So now they're back in the van. They did it. They just got also like a key to West Hollywood for eating a shitty burger. Chad performs conilingus on the burger.
What?
Chad does a very like jokey like to the burger, which is fucking gross, man.
I'm not into that kind of humor.
I'm not here for that.
I enjoy that.
So now they're no, thank you. Now they're back in the van, and they're getting ready for the stand-up challenge.
Right.
And Chanel is worried, and she asks Delta, how did you get through it on your challenge, on your season when you had to do stand-up comedy? And she says, I did not. I went home. I went home on the stand-up challenge.
Yep. That's honest.
It's honest and real.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember that episode. It was a rough episode for Delta.
Well, making somebody do, it's honestly like, I mean, I don't even really do stand up. I guess I kind of do it when I do like storytelling shows, but I don't love doing, it's hard. The
me
pressure
neither.
Of doing stand up for me is hard. So making a drag queen do stand up is, unless you're cruel. Called to do stand up, is really cruel. It's just like, there's so many things that it's like, forcing me to sing or forcing me to, tap dance or,
yeah.
Or sew a dress. Like anything I would have. I mean, like, it's just like,
up.
It's a very specific skill.
It's like,
that
oh,
either
so
you can do it or you don't.
Exactly. You're good at female illusion?
But the best advice.
We need you to demolish this building.
It's yeah. Like,
but that's not what I'm good
at. But the best advice that Sherry gave them was to be honest and talk about, and just to talk about your life.
Yeah.
Because that's where at least you can, reveal that. And a lot of comedians, that's all they do is they get up and they just talk about their life. And, we'll at least relate to that. Or we'll at least like that. You're not trying to be funny out of some bad joke that you dreamed up and thought this will be a funny thing to say.
Audiences have a very sensitive bullshit detector.
Yep.
And the second you give them bullshit, they're like, I'm out.
Yeah.
So you might as well be honest because they'll know.
Yeah.
They'll know. So great. Now we're in the stand-up challenge. Angina gets distracted by some man meat, which
I also love that they're all acting like they don't know what the Comedy Store is or where it is. And they see the sign like it's that big white circle that says the Comedy Store.
That's it.
Like, how do you not, even if you don't live in LA, how do you not know what the Comedy Store is?
I don't
know. You've never, seen anything. Of course you know.
They know.
What that is. But some producer was telling them, like, act like it's some really bizarre, Neverland that no one's ever seen.
Also, it's bad. If you know LA, it's bad to look at the editing because you see them driving towards the Comedy Store and
absolutely.
You see
you're
that
like,
they're
wait,
like,
where are they now?
And Beverly
now
they're and Fountain and you're like, what? They're not near the Comedy Store. so here we go. We have the Jujubee starts first. And Juju starts talking about her family. It's pretty funny. Look, her accent's great. It's always going to work.
Yeah.
The only thing that drives me nuts about these challenged, and I think there's nothing scarier in this world than unearned laugh cutaways.
Yes.
Is anything spookier in the world? Is anything make you feel more uneasy when like a drag queen or just anyone on a show delivers a joke and then the editor has put in a hard like,
oh, I know,
audience cutaway.
Right. Or someone's dying laughing, clapping. And that's so not fair to anyone involved.
Exactly.
Because it's not fair to the performer because you're like, that might have been mildly funny, but then to put in an audience laughing that hard, it makes the person watching it at home go, well, that wasn't that funny. What's happening? Yeah. And then if you're that person in the audience, you were probably laughing at something else
right.
that they cut that into.
Right.
And so that's just makes you look like an idiot. Like,
exactly.
I mean, there were quite a few people in that audience that I knew.
Yes.
That I was like, oh, that's my friend. I know the person. Like, I don't know how they got roped into like, come watch some drag queens do stand up this afternoon. And they're really smart, intelligent people in that audience. And I'm like, they're not laughing that hard at that. They're doing
right.
it for camera, or they're doing it because they're laughing at something else.
Right.
Or like, Sherry O'Terry got up there and did comedy that we don't see, or somebody got up and
yeah.
actually did real comedy and they're actually laughing.
They're
at
just
that.
Using, yeah.
So that's not fair to do that to them.
No, you'll look like a fool.
Right.
You could lose a job.
Sure.
You could be in the chair, you could be opposite. The employer of your dreams, and they say, wait a second.
They think that's
did
funny.
You laugh at that part where Chanel said, I'm a white man trapped in a black woman's body?
I mean, I think that's our greatest fear. It's like someone saw me laughing at something that I didn't, that wasn't that funny, and they think I'm not funny anymore.
Truly.
I got totally read by someone who I think is very funny because I posted that I liked the remake of Pet Sematary, the recent Pet Sematary.
Uh-huh.
I really liked it. I enjoyed it. It was a great horror movie.
But I love horror.
It didn't change my life, but I thought it was really well acted. I thought it was really well done.
You had a good time.
Genuinely scary. And I was like, if you want a good horror movie, go see this movie.
Yeah.
And someone I really look up to, I ran into her like a month later. She's like, you liked Pet Sematary. Wow. That tells me a lot about you. And it kind of, I mean, fuck you, number one. But
yeah.
it was also like, oh my God. It kind of stayed with me for a long time because I was like, oh my God, you like are judging me for that. Like, you're going to use that against me forever. Like, if anything, you'd be like, well, he liked Pet Sematary, so what does he know?
I'd be like, darling, why do you remember that?
What's going on? It definitely did something. It created a real moment for both of us.
People take everything
and
too
I'm like,
seriously.
I know. And I'm like, I just liked it. I thought mm-hmm. it was entertaining. I'm not going to say.
This is the best thing. This is a great trick I steal from Nicole, which like whenever anyone says something crazy to you online or in person, the best way to disarm them is to say, oh, I'm sorry you're having a tough day. I hope you have a better day tomorrow.
Love that.
It's
mine,
perfect.
The one that I do.
Yeah.
And I did it the other day at Shake Shack because I'm living my best life. This awful woman was at Shake Shack and I was just getting my buzzer rang for my, you know.
For your concrete?
For my chicken sandwich. I didn't get a concrete.
Oh,
I didn't
what
go
a
crazy.
Mistake.
I had a chicken sandwich.
The cherry pie concrete, darling.
Those are delicious. I've had them before. And I get up and I'm getting my food. And this woman in front of me was like, there was another tray of food. And I guess they had the number wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But she's like, but that's my food. And the guy was like, okay, I guess I just had the number wrong. And she goes, okay, but it's my food. Like she was so aggressive and he wasn't arguing with her and he was just like, I guess, like, you know, and I turned to the woman and I just said, I hope you're going to be okay. And I think that's a great way of disarming people because it's totally cunty,
uh-huh.
but it's also like said with like, I hope you're going to be okay. Like,
yeah.
It's said with like, I'm concerned about you. Of course, I'm not concerned about her.
I mean.
But it's my way of saying you're an awful person.
Yeah.
And what you just did was crazy. You screamed at someone who's working in a fast food joint about the number being wrong. And he's not debating that that's your lunch.
Ugh.
Eat it, pig.
Honestly, to quote Friday the 13th, part 5, eat your fucking slop, you dildo.
Yes. I love that you quoted Friday the 13th, part 5. A new beginning.
I'll never forget it. There's this huge character in it who's just like a woman who's totally going to die, who's just like cooking a nasty.
There's so many nasty people in Friday the 13th
exactly,
movies. Nasty women.
We have to rationalize their deaths.
Yes, of
and
course.
And she's this old country woman in a shack and she's yelling at her
husband.
I
remember this.
She's
yes.
cantankerous and she yells the line, eat your fucking slop, you dildo. And
also, a country woman calls people dildos. I want to know her story.
So funny. Dildo. Okay, so the random challenge is Chad. Chad's next. She talks about Dr. Bandito and getting all this silicone. This was fine. It wasn't great, but it made me mildly uncomfortable. Not mega uncomfortable, but just there were certain moments where we're like flippantly talking about Latinx culture that made me a little uncomfortable.
And
she was like, Dr. Bandito, Fiesta Day blowouts.
Oh,
she's
yeah.
She's making Spanish right. noises, for lack right. of a better word.
Spanish noises.
It wasn't bad. It was fine.
Well, again, it's basic. It's obvious. Like, I feel like a lot of things I'm like, what I don't like about certain things, it's like, it's not like I'm so offended, I'm triggered, that's racial, that's racist.
Uh-huh.
It's just sort of like, come up with something better. So just surprise us.
Yeah.
You know? Because, and also put the joke on yourself.
Yeah.
Put the joke on, like, because my drag career is where it is, I have to afford the cheap drive-by drag. I mean, that's make the thing about yourself, like, I can't afford
Truly.
The high-end Beverly Hills cosmetic. I mean, even if that's not true, but I don't know, go that angle of, as opposed to, like,
yeah.
I Chihuahua in Mexico, exactly. everything. It's just like,
yeah. You're always going to invite the audience to laugh. Like, the audience is going to always laugh more when you're, like, ready to make fun of yourself.
Yeah.
Raven talks about getting put in jail. I love her. She's wearing a blue afro Mediterranean nightmare. I love it.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, but she also talks about being in jail and having a cellmate named Anferny. Which also made me mildly uncomfortable.
Well, I also don't really believe.
I don't believe it.
That.
No, I don't believe a second of that.
Yeah.
I don't have anything
also,
to say about
like,
that.
I don't find, you know, crazy black people's names funny. Like,
exactly.
It's just like, oh God.
That's what we're alluding to. Yes. And that's
and
what
I
the
just,
laugh
I,
is
I'm growing up
from.
In North Carolina, and that was like sort of, that was really where like so many like racist jokes came from. They weren't overt racism. It was like, but it was that. It was
it's
like,
that.
Oh, you're making fun of like, you're basically saying they're ignorant and
exactly.
They don't know how to name their children. And,
right. But if you did your homework, you would know that a lot of black Americans give their children names that are not tied to any
Thank
sort
you.
Of culture because
Slave
they're
owner.
So eager
yes.
to create their own culture. It's
yes.
called secondary culture, and it's
yes.
A lot of cultural groups who have been ripped from their heritage native places
right.
must create secondary culture because their
And as a drag queen, you should maybe know something about secondary culture.
Hello.
I mean, as a drag queen, you're like, you named yourself something that's stupid.
Exactly.
So it's like, so you know, how are you better?
Pick up a book.
And
pick up a book and close yeah. your cunt. I'm just being awful now.
Okay. Billy? Is Billy back?
Billy's back. Okay, Chanel, we don't need to talk about how this doesn't work. We do have to also talk about how we're wearing a lot of silly afros and that's
comedy
also
looks.
Comedy
You can
looks.
Tell they're like, it's comedy.
It's comedy.
Oh my God, I hate that more than anything. I will say, I'm not going to say her name, but it's someone I really deeply don't like.
Uh-huh.
I had to write for
Ooh, can you say them and we'll bleep them out with a funny Nicole Byer noise?
Yes. Her name is... Please bleep that out.
Yes.
I was writing for her one time, and I never met her. She refused to meet any of the writers. There were four of us
uh-huh.
who she refused to meet
Uh-oh.
For a show. And her idea on one of her bits was to come out in an afro and all, like, disco clothes. That was it. That was comedy.
What?
And I was like, afro isn't funny. Like, that's not...
That's not a joke.
It's not a thing. I don't know what that... What's the joke?
But
it's literally like, I'm wearing wacky. The second to me, somebody walks out and wears... It's like, I have to be very conscious when I do an improv show of what I'm wearing. Like, I made mistakes along the way when I thought, this is a fun shirt.
Of course.
If the shirt reads too comedy with a K,
right.
you're working too hard when you walk on the stage.
And
an audience can smell that you're trying too hard and that you don't trust what you have. You
right.
don't trust your gut and you're not, you know, you're walking on stage, you're like, I have a funny hat on. I'm going to get a laugh from my entrance.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Good. Good luck, sweetie.
Yeah.
like a casting director who I knew I would never see again said to me, have a good day, sweetie.
Ew.
And you know her.
You know her.
I'm going to say her name and you can bleep it out. This casting director who I knew I would never see again when she said, have a good day, sweetie.
Oh, well, she's horrible. She's no longer in business.
Oh, no. Yeah, she's canceled.
So, yeah, that's why you'll never see her again.
She's been canceled.
Not because I thought you were going to tell me somebody who was like a working casting director.
No.
Not a Demogorgon.
No, she's
relic of the past.
She's a corpse who lives in a volcano
now. She's awful.
Okay, great. Let's go ahead and get to the main stage. What do you say?
Let's do it.
Here we go. Rue comes out in a golden amber, rusted tin roof melted poured all over her look. She looks amazing.
Yes.
And Michelle looks awesome too. She's elevated Jersey trash. Like if a billboard was a whore.
Yes.
She looks great. And then we have Sherry O'Terry and Beth Ditto. Lovely.
I love both of them.
They're both amazing.
They're both amazing.
And here we go. Let's talk about their looks. Chad comes out on the runway on like a drag holographic warrior. Kind of a sexy superhero with a blonde pinned curly swoop.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you think?
Looking great.
Looking great.
Very Chad.
Looking great. Pretty impressive restraint.
Yeah.
Your finale look, I would be so tempted to even do a little more, but it's certainly enough.
Yeah.
Jujubee is giving a gorgeous face and a stunning kind of bedroom curly hair, but I don't like the dress.
What was the dress? I don't remember.
It was like a blue Santorini couch cover.
Yes, yes. Now I know. Yeah.
It was neither polished nor dirndled fashion week.
Yes,
it was somewhere in the middle.
I get it, yeah.
Yeah, not enough, but we love her. We stan her. Then Chanel comes out looking like crab people.
Yeah. Oh, that was awful.
Because it wasn't
campy enough to be fun.
No.
It wasn't like, oh, I'm, Debbie Harry and Hairspray, or like, it wasn't
crab
like,
people.
You know, it wasn't that.
Crab
it was, it, you know.
People. It, no, agree.
It just looked like a dumb costume.
And it shouldn't have been velvet.
It looked like a high school production of Little Mermaid.
It was, yes, it was, and the velvet looked thick. Like, if it was maybe silk or linen, something with a flow, it could have looked better, but it looked like a felt gown with Michael's like red furry balls all over it.
And if you think you're going to win All Stars with that look.
Honey.
Get yourself a honey dipped apple pesto.
Now Raven comes out in this expensive boudoir look.
Yeah.
I thought it was stunning.
Sexy.
It's really stunning, and it's that amazing thing. Well, she was doing lingerie before, like, they overdid it in other in later seasons, like season 7, where there was just everyone was wearing—
The pajama years.
The pajama years. This, like, very expensive fucking lingerie with, like, a gorgeous bra, a sort of, like, high-waisted, sparkly— sexy cut under panty and this amazing bed cape. I mean, it takes a lot of nuts to wear something that simple.
Yeah, but also very sexy.
Very.
And also it had like an 80s sleazy late night movie quality to it as well that I loved.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, that's yes, yes. Oh, God. I'm trying to think of one of those fuck movies from the 80s.
Like a Shannon Tweed movie or, which was maybe more 90s, but
more 90s,
sure.
Like Sliver. Sliver was very fucky, right?
Sure.
Loved that. Love Shannon. Sharon Stone. I said Shannon Stone.
Well, Shannon Tweed, Sharon Stone.
There's where my brain went. Great. They excuse them off the main stage. We're going to decide who the top two is. It's pretty clear, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's clear. It's pretty clear who the top two is. We have now Raven and Chad are announced to be part of the top two. It makes so much sense. No one's surprised. And trigger warning, they have to sing to a song which is no longer responsibly named, but it is the song Responsatranity, which we... is just not cool anymore toward the trans community.
Right.
To so flippantly be using a word.
Right. Sure. It was a different time. It was 2012.
It was 2012. It was the before time. The cities had not yet fallen.
I know. I mean, I look forward to a time where we can use those words again with respect and love and owning them again. But we have to get a new president and a new world.
We need to heal a little bit more before we can use some of this language flippantly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, Word.
So I actually think in this lip sync, I think Raven did a better job in the lip sync.
Yeah, probably. I mean, I think it was like pretty much in the bag though that it was Chad's.
Right.
Unless Chad really fucked it up. Because
she like won the season.
Right.
But
right.
Raven maybe did better on the day, but still it was like,
Right.
At this point, Chad won like four or three.
But also it's like, it's Chad Michaels. It's like, you know what I mean? It's like, that's
yes.
just a legendary, that's a drag queen that, you know, that needs to win All-Star Season 1. Like, it just,
yeah,
just makes sense.
It did just make sense. And she did well.
She did.
She didn't.
She's always does well. She's always does, you know. I mean, Chad is never, like, my style just because she is more in the world of, like you're saying, she's a perfect queen. I mean, uh-huh. she is in the world of Barbra Streisand, Beyonce,
mm-hmm.
kind of a thing where she's flawless.
Mm-hmm.
And I like flaws. I like scars. I like weirdness.
Mm-hmm.
But I have total respect for what she does. You know, it's like, great. That's your brand. I love it. You know,
yeah.
I could never do that.
You can't knock it.
No.
You can't knock it. You have to respect her. And she's just such a fucking amazing person too.
Yeah.
She likes to pretend like she's like, it was a fluke, but you're like, you're one of those people who like,
also,
you're one
I
of those
mean,
people who gets up.
Warrior, you've been doing this for a long time.
God, it takes a lot of guts to keep putting yourself out there and just like knowing you're the shit.
Well, because forever, I mean, Chad was always, I always knew Chad as like, as the Cher drag queen. I mean, mm-hmm. I think before Drag Race, mm-hmm. it was always, she was the quintessential Cher impersonator, Cher mm-hmm. drag queen. If you needed a Cher, it was like,
yeah.
And that's, she, you know, that was her stamp on the world forever. Like I knew who she was way before
yeah.
the whole thing. And, you know, and then she's since like come out from under that.
Yeah.
Whereas a lot of other people have had a hard time. Like Derek Berry has had a really hard time shaking the Britney Spears
the
thing.
Britney thing.
And I think he honestly, Derek just wants to be Britney. Like I think that's really all he cares about, which is great. But Chad really kind of shed Cher.
Chad shed Cher. Cheerfully. she's amazing. It's a, man, it's a real twist in the tit that Raven got to top two for the second time and didn't win. I feel for her, but also, bitch got a job, so she don't care.
That's the thing. It doesn't matter that once you're on that show, you've done it. You're part of that team. You're part of that family.
One person has to win.
Only one person can win it.
Yes.
It doesn't mean that you're not qualified.
Yes.
You know. Oh, and then, yes, of course. Right.
Right.
But,
yeah.
You know.
Raven very funnily shaded that moment where she was like, as we know, only one person can win All Stars. It was very funny. But yeah, I love Raven so much. I love them both. But it makes sense. You're picking between amazing and amazing. So someone's got to win. Well,
and it's all TV. Like
it's
all wrapped up in the fact that like you're nowhere near the comedy. Like, you know, it's a TV show. So it's like, let's just, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, before we bid you a ta-ta, we should talk about my stupid little segment called A Star is Porn.
A Star is Porn.
Here we go. A Star is Porn, a moment of porn excellence. You want to give an award. I would like to give an award for the most confusing storyline in a gay porn to a certain gay porn. I believe it maybe it starts one of these old gentlemen. It's from the 70s or 80s.
My favorite.
Yes. And it involves it's this great little storyline where a sort of drifter or like a, I think it's a drifter like is like comes to the door of a straight couple.
Uh-huh.
And he is like, I need a place to crash for the night. And they're like, oh my gosh, you're in the rain. So you gotta come inside. This drifter comes in the home of this straight couple. They give him, you know, they let him into the bedroom for no good reason.
Well, as you should, if
as
you're in the
you
rain,
should.
If you're a drifter in the rain, let them in your bed.
Let them in your bed.
And be a human.
As you know, drifting makes you horny.
Very.
And so he starts
helplessly horny.
Yeah, he starts jacking her. He starts jacking his donger. And
oh, he said jacking her, and I was like, I love it.
Right?
He's jacking her. Great.
No, the wife, like in all gay porns, is like, I am going to bed, honey.
Oh, perfect.
So he starts jacking it. The man who lives at the home walks in on him. And of course, it's like, whoa, man. Hey, whoa, this is crazy. And then he's like, but that looks good. So he, of course, joins in, cheats on his wife with the drifter. It gets even more crazy because after they've cheated, the wife like goes to the safe and she's like,
the safe.
The safe.
As you do.
Where's the money? And he's like, oh no, the thief drifter took it. The wife, it's fucking crazy. The wife leaves the house and then the drifter comes back out of the shadows and is like, we did it. We successfully stole money from your wife and she's none the wiser. And I was like, what the fuck?
So it was like Death Trap.
Yes.
Do you know Death Trap?
No.
Michael Caine?
I'm just going to say
Michael
yes.
Michael Caine and oh my God, Diane Cannon and Christopher Reeve.
Oh, fuck yes.
And it's like, so Michael Caine and Diane Cannon he's a playwright and she's like hysterical and an alcoholic. I don't know what her job is, but they're a couple. Okay. And Christopher Reeve is a young writer who was like, you know, basically like learning. And then Michael Caine thinks that Christopher Reeve is having an affair with Diane Cannon.
Okay.
So he kills Christopher Reeve.
Oh.
But somehow it's a plot. I'm getting all this wrong and someone's listening, but it's a plot between Michael Caine and Christopher Reeve. They're actually lovers.
Okay.
And they actually plot to kill the wife.
Okay.
And then they kiss. I remember I saw it as a child and I saw Michael Caine and Christopher Reeve. Superman, you know.
Wow.
And Michael Caine.
What? Michael Caine?
On the mouth when I, in the 80s. And I saw it on HBO and I was like, oh my God, I'm feeling certain feelings.
Oh my God. My squiggles are zigging and zagging.
Sure.
That's hot, and that is, I'm giving the award the most confusing storyline to that.
I love it.
What award would you like to give?
I would like to give most believably bored performance, because I have a thing, and this is whatever. I like to actually believe that I like to go on the journey. I'm such a nerd and such an actor that I want to watch a porn. I'm like, I want to believe that they're really into it.
I would love that.
Because I want to know that they're like, because sometimes I watch straight porn, but if I feel like the woman's getting hurt in any way or like, I feel like it's like degrading to, I can't. And
awful.
I'm not even like, I'm such a good person, but it's like, it's just not
it
at
just
all sexy to me. I don't want to watch
it. Pleasure zones.
No,
you.
Thank you. But I love watching when like a woman's really into it, or I love watching when I feel like people are like,
when people are into it, it's fantastic.
When they really go on the ride.
Yeah.
But I have to say, I love the commitment to how bored Garth Brooks is. Do you know Garth Brooks? Are you familiar?
I do know Garth Brooks.
He acts like he's so believably like annoyed, but to the point it's hot. It's like, I'm just some dude. I'm some lunk.
Yeah.
With, you know.
Getting my wonker blowed.
Completely. And just like, whatever, dude, finish the business. And it just, there's something about it that just works.
Yeah.
So don't ever change, Garth.
Don't you ever change.
Don't ever change.
I love when the performance
And he's
is
always
good.
Plays the straight guys. He's always married, or he always is like, my wife's in the other room. He's always that guy.
Yeah.
He just lets these guys do all kinds of things. And then, you know.
Which we know is another problem in gay porn, where they're like, my stupid fucking wife
my
is gone.
My dumb woman who has no clue what's
God, she's
happening.
An idiot.
Yeah.
A lot of like weird misogyny in gay porn. It's like, guys, just fuck. Just suck each other's dicks and leave that young lady alone.
Maybe don't talk about women if you don't have anything to say. Maybe
Drew,
that.
Before we let you go, what would you like to plug?
Oh, I'm doing my new solo show. It's called Happy Birthday, Doug.
Yes.
And I'm playing 9 characters. I'm playing 9 gay men, all at a birthday party from hell. It's set at a wine bar in Silver Lake. So, it's going to be at the Celebration Theater in LA in September.
Mm-hmm.
Saturdays at 8 and Sundays at 7.
Amazing.
So please come see it. And it's a tiny theater, so get tickets in advance because, you know, it's a small little space. But it's getting ready to go off Broadway.
What?
In February. I'm taking it to
Drew?
New York. Yeah.
Congrats.
So it's directed by the fantastic Tom DeTrennis, who we've worked together a million times.
Amazing.
Do you know Tom? Do you know Tom DeTrennis?
I don't.
He's a delight and he's
amazing.
Fantastic. And so he directed it and so if you're in LA in September, get a chance to come check it out before it goes to New York City.
Yeah.
And if you're in New York, come see it in February.
And then where do we find you online What's your socials?
I'm on Instagram, Drew, and I think there's a little dash between Drew Droege.
Okay.
And then I'm on the Twitter, just at Drew Droege.
Great.
You know, I'm very easy to find and very easy to track down.
Good. Same with me. Find me at Mono Agapian. Follow us at Drag Her Podcast on Instagram. We have a lot of stupid, lovely stuff on there. Please go listen to my other podcast I do with Betsy Sodaro on Patreon called We Love Trash. It's a good time. We talk about reality, food, celebrities, and everything we love to hate and hate to need. Rate and review us on iTunes. We love hearing your opinions, even when they're negative. I give you a little, you know what? I'm sorry you're having a bad day.
Yeah, I hope you're going to be okay.
And I see you. Until next time, bye!
Bye, honey-dipped pesto trash.
Still about to throw some shade, Kiki with the gaze. It's time to drag her, time to drag.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.